Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Wonderful. Good morning, everybody. Isn't it beautiful to be in his presence, to know that Jesus is alive and powerful and he's with us? He's a God who speaks today. He's a God who's doing amazing things today. He's with us. And it's incredible to base and to found your life upon him. I mean, we need to have him as our foundation, our cornerstone, our everything. And he's not just a figment of our imaginations. He's not just somewhere in the distance, sending us some kind of WhatsApps every now and then from heaven. He's with us. He's right here, and he does amazing things. Cool. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, please. We are preaching through the book of Luke. It's been actually incredible. Yeah, we are at chapter 24. Last chapter of the book of Luke. We've been studying this since the beginning of the year. Who's enjoyed it? Who can remember some of the things that we've gone through? I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, my whole motive and modus operandi is actually to preach Christ. We don't preach anything if we don't preach Christ. Preaching anything else is useless. I get irritated if I just hear topics from the pulpit. I get irritated if I hear life lessons from the pulpit, all these kind of things. But when I hear Christ preached, it's something that stirs me, because then it teaches me how to live my life. It teaches me about every topic there is. When you have Jesus in your life, because he's the one you're going to have a relationship with tonight, tomorrow morning, on Tuesday. When you've got a relationship with Jesus and Jesus has been revealed to you, then you know what you can expect from Jesus. You know what you can talk to Jesus about. You know what Jesus does. You know what he's expecting of you and what you need to do. It's all centered on a revelation of Jesus. And so as we've studied Jesus and looked at Jesus, in fact, you're even going to see it today. The word that Ian likes to use, the whole meta-narrative, all of Scripture actually points to Jesus. And so if you're reading Scripture and you don't find Jesus, there's no illusion of Jesus or no expression or revelation of Jesus, then go read it again and go and say, Lord, show me you. Because this is not just black and white. It's not just a library of clever things written down for us to kind of study and get all theological and big-headed about. It's actually all about a relationship with a person. And his name is Jesus. And let me ask you that question again. Do you know how blessed you are? I mean, blessing is not money. Blessing is not all things going well in your life. Blessing is a person, and his name is Jesus. And he's greater than all our finances, whether we have a whole lot or whether we don't have any. He's greater than all things going well in our lives, even when things are tough. When you've got Jesus, you've got the greatest blessing there is. And there's so many people who don't have him. And so you're very blessed. But the reason why you're blessed, the Abrahamic covenant, right in the beginning was this. When God spoke to Abraham up front, he says, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. And so anytime you experience blessing in your life, know this, it's not just for you. It is an expression of God's love for you, but the reason why he shows his love for you is because he wants you to show his love to others. Isn't that amazing? And so he's got a plan for every one of our lives. He wants to use you. So if you say you're blessed, then be a blessing. There's nothing worse than a person that's a bless hog. It's just like double parking over the blessing spaces. You know, actually, just give what God's given you. Let it out. Give it out, and you'll find, actually, that's more like Jesus, because Jesus is not just a receiver. I mean, we praise him every day, and he receives our praise, but he's that because he's the giver, and he's the source of everything we have. Isn't that incredible? So to have him in your life means to change your whole perception of things. It's to kind of like do a reverse on the normal way of life out there. This world is gimme, gimme, gimme. But when Jesus is in your life, that whole thing turns around. Because now you don't need when you've got all you need. Hello? When you've got Jesus, all you need, there's something that flows from him and from our lives. And so stay in that space. And so, the title of my message this morning is The Road to Victory. And I say that thinking about what victory actually is. And we've got it up on our these banners here. The war is won. Yes, thank you, Jesus. There's a victory, but Christ is our victory. So a victory without Christ is no victory at all. I mean, the enemy can have a victory. The enemy can say the war is won. And in fact, that's what he thought when he killed Jesus and put him on the cross. He thought, yes, the war is won. You know, we've destroyed the Son of God on the cross. But guess what happens? 3 days later, he's alive. Christ is the victory. And so there's no victory without Jesus. If you have a victory, you've had to push people over and you've had to crush others. That's not Christ. But victories are those victories where people find Christ and they see Christ. You might be going through something right now in your life. The victory is not getting through to the other side. The victory is Christ. You might not never get through the thing you're going through. But if you find Christ in it, that's the greatest victory of all. Isn't that amazing? Because he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And we know it starts off with these wonderful waters and green pastures. And the end of the psalm is beautiful too. Psalm 23 talks about seated at the table and my head overflowing and with oil. And surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Isn't that wonderful? But then there's that little dark space in the middle of Psalm 23 where it talks about through the valley of the shadow of darkness. He is with me. That's the victory. You know what? You can hang around in the valley of darkness all day long as he's with you. That's the victory. So find him in whatever you're going through. Have him, and then he'll lead you on to anything else. Because you can actually be in the place of success and abundance, but you don't have him. That's not victory, folk. We've lost. Is that good? And that's what we need to live. And this is what he wants to show us today. So let's go. Luke chapter 24, from verse just 1 to 13 initially. It says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. I just want to pray. Sorry, Lord Jesus. Even I don't want to read a verse without you. And so I pray, God, for your spirit to come and do two things today. While we're praying for healing in people's bodies, I want to pray, Lord, for opening our eyes. If there's any blindness spiritually, open our eyes this morning in your name. And then if there's any lameness to our walk with you, I want to ask you today, would you strengthen the feeble knees, toughen our legs so that we can walk with you, Jesus. I pray for that this morning, Lord. While you're doing something physical, you really want to do something spiritual, I ask you that you do it powerfully. Do it in me, do it through me, in everyone here, through everyone in here, to a world that needs you. In Jesus' name, amen. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. Wow. Let's break in over there. I love the mention of the first day of the week at early dawn. The first day of the week is Sunday. This is the day Jesus is resurrected, on a Sunday. It's an incredible thing that we as a church meet together on the day that is most significant to us, the day that Jesus rose. Because everything else was pointing to this day. Even the first day of the week in creation is the day that God says, let there be light. And then on the seventh day rests. And it's wonderful that we have rest, but all our rest is actually pointing to the rest we have in Christ. And so while Christ was resting in the tomb and he was dead in the tomb, people weren't at rest. They were worried. You can have a day off, but your heart can be worried. You know, and then you don't actually rest. You go back the next day having had a physical day off, but your heart is still pondering. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, guess what? Jesus Christ rose again. There's a whole new rest that comes in. He becomes the Sabbath. Jesus said, I am Lord of, I am Master of, I own the Sabbath. It's all about me, and I'm alive. Now let the work begin. And that's why we gather on this day. It's wonderful. You can have a Sabbath day on a Saturday. You can rest every day. You can worship every day, but this is why we're called the Sunday Christians, because we come together to celebrate the one who's alive and seated on the throne, and he's above all, and he loves us. Isn't that incredible? And some people might have different perceptions of the thing. The point is this, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, and you've got to celebrate that. However you celebrate it, because he's alive and he's with us. He's no longer in the grave. I like the fact that Sunday is even called Sunday, because on that day, God said, let the sun rise. Let the sun shine. And obviously it was based on other pagan things and worship of the sun. But worship of the sun fades in comparison to worshiping the sun. And his name is Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? All the old covenant, all the laws, all of the things were pointing to something. All of that has died the night before. This morning, Jesus has risen. And there's a new creation. There's a new dawn. There's a new, let there be light. And this new creation starts with Jesus alive, having conquered death, having dealt with everything the old covenant and everything the old creation couldn't do. This new creation begins with Jesus Christ at the helm. The day you find Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the risen Lord in your life, is the day your whole life changes. Now, I remember the morning. Let me just paint a little bit of a picture. The Friday night, I was in some places of ill repute. The Saturday throughout the day, I was smoking some things of ill substance. On the Saturday night when I arrived at my home, my dad opened the door and saw this ill-looking boy. And I was 21. I thought I knew everything. Probably had a cigarette in my mouth and a beer in my hand. And he looked at me and he said, you coming to church tomorrow? I thought, no problem. And I went to bed that night, tired from not sleeping for a few days. And I dreamt that I was walking towards a light. And in that dream, I was weeping out of joy. I mean, I'd wept about other things. And in fact, I hadn't cried in a long time because I'd become quite a hard person. But I was weeping out of happiness as I walked towards this light. And when I woke up on that Sunday morning, the 7th of May 2000, I reluctantly got into the car, didn't put the seatbelt on in case I could escape somewhere on the way, and got to church. And Manny Pereira, the late Manny Pereira, who planted this church, was preaching about Jesus. And the only way you could clean your life is to have him on the inside. You can't clean it from the outside in. You can only let him clean it from the inside out. And as he spoke those words, I felt two things. Like the worst person on the face of the planet. But I knew that he loved me. And the only way I could reconcile it is because Jesus died for my sin on the cross. I was wrong, and he died for me. But he put his life in me and made me right. And I started to weep. Because that's love. And I walked down that aisle, and my life has been completely different since that very day. A new creation. It is almost as like God started over again. What I'd experienced of creation was completely different to the creation on the 8th of May, 2000, when I opened my eyes, smiling. Have you ever woken up with a smile on your face? I woke up with a smile on my face. I thought, this is strange. But I was a new creation. Something had happened in me. The creation is amazing, but redemption's even better. And this is what we worship him for. And this is a new day. The dawn has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. How many of you this morning are ready for a new word from the Lord? How many of you are hungry for a new season from God? How many of you are expectant of a new creation because he's the creator and he hasn't stopped creating? He hasn't taken his creation boots and put them in the cupboard. He's still creating day by day. And in fact, it says, I mean, we were talking about it the other day, creation and the universe expanding with light years all the time. And God holds it in the palm of his hand. So either his hand is getting bigger or it hasn't reached the fullness of his hand yet. But I mean, he's the creator. Do you know that today he can create something new for you? Today could be the first day for the rest of your life of something completely different. You could have been in the same old, the same old life, the same old things I've been going through, same old troubles, same old things, same old devotion in my Bible, same old reading, same old coming to church, same old going home, same old do whatever I do, go and open the fridge, drink the same stuff, go and eat the same food, go to the same work, all those kind of things. But I want to tell you today, God could start something brand new. Do you perceive it is the important question. Because actually, he's doing something new all the time, but the matter is whether we see it or not. You know, we're the ones who have to change, not him. He's creating regularly. We're the ones who get stale and back away into the corner of religiosity. Hello? Today is your day to come out. Today, the stone is rolled away. Today, can you imagine what Jesus felt like waking up on that Joseph of Arimathea tomb, opening his eyes, seeing the stone go like a curtain rolled back on a sunny morning? It's possibly the other way around. It's possibly he was so bright that the dawn had to come out of the tomb. And everybody was thinking it was an early dawn, but the sun was shining out of the stone rolling away. Could be something like that. Anyway, just a little bit of license. But this is Isaiah 43 verse 19. It says this, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." When you're thirsty, do you go to the desert? No. Now there's a new road. And it says, go here for some drink from the river. And the sun is over the desert. You think that can't be. Do you not perceive it? I'm doing a new thing. The places where you thought you'd never get water is the places where God's saying, I'm going to do something new. You think, let's go to the graveyard. What are we going to find in the graveyard? We're going to find a stone rolled away. We're going to find something that changes your life forever. Do you not perceive it? The whole thing is this. Our preconceived ideas is nothing can come from that. Nothing can happen in this. No one should go over there. But actually, when God's doing a new thing, he can do whatever he wants, wherever he wants, and he can do a new thing. Are you ready? Do you perceive it? We are faced with new circumstances. This is how you recognize when God is doing a new thing. Who of you have had your circumstances change recently? Hello? Who of you have had your circumstances change recently? Perhaps God's doing a new thing. Perhaps he wants to show you a new thing. How many of you have felt an end to some wilderness times? How many of you feel like the wilderness can end now? And it's ending now. God wants to do something wonderful. How many of you feel like there's some refreshing on the way? I mean, who would like some refreshing? Hello? This is what he wants to do. He wants to refresh us. He wants to pour out his cool, amazing spirit on us and revive us again. Are you feeling revived even as I'm saying these things? You know what? What I'm saying, his spirit is wanting to do. He's doing it right now. There's a refreshing coming. Isaiah 42 verse 9 says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell them to you." If you can hear me say, God's saying to you, something new is on the way. He's just announced it to you. So guess what? It's going to spring forth. Trust him and believe him because he's still doing it for everyone every day. Your perception needs to be, I believe he's going to. It's us. It's up to us. He's doing it, folk. There's a new season. There's a resurrection. There's a river that's starting to flow. So, I want you to notice how God is speaking in so many ways in just this passage. I didn't want to come and preach just an Easter message of Resurrection Sunday. You know, I wanted to actually, because we're going to get to a lot of that as we go, but God is speaking to these disciples in a whole new way, but they're not seeing it. There's this moment of bewildered, no clarity. And in that moment, we can learn. Because when we go through those same moments, we don't know what's going on. We're wondering and we're amazed and we're thinking, what is happening? These things are helpful for us. How many of you had moments where you don't actually know what's happening in your life? Hello? A lot of the time, I actually don't know what the heck's going on. But when I run to Him, that's when I feel at peace. I don't then have to know what's going on because He knows what's going on. As long as I'm with the one who knows, I can feel okay without even knowing. So, Lord, as long as you know, handle it. But there are some ways that the Lord is speaking. Number one, the stone rolled away. God is opening new doors. There's doors of opportunities. There's access being granted to places that were unavailable before. There's a breaking through. There are new things coming. God is opening doors. You see the stone rolled away, but you can't see it until you realize God is doing something completely new. Two men in dazzling apparel. There must be something supernatural going on. That word says dazzling, dazzling clothing, dazzling. The original Greek actually says as bright as lightning. That's pretty supernatural. But they see these two men with clothing as bright as lightning. I mean, they don't ask them and say, you know, which fashion designer do these things come from? I mean, all we've seen in Jerusalem for the last 100 years is the same old khaki things or whatever. Sackcloth and funny, you know. Every now and then there's somebody that wears camel hair and they think that guy's crazy. But yeah, they are standing in lightning-colored clothing and don't perceive it. God can do a miracle right here, right now. You won't believe it. You can say, oh, I want to see. Let's see. I could be standing here in lightning jacket, whatever. My new lightning pants. And no one will even, it'll be like, no, I don't believe it. You can fall on your face when lightning clothing is in front of you. I mean, just think about this for a moment. Where do the angels get their light from? The glory of the risen Lord. They're not like the sun that produced their own light. They're like the moon who reflect His light. Hello? Their clothes are shining like lightning. Why? Because the Son of God has just risen. He's alive and shining brightly, and it's manifesting in the clothing of these two men/angels standing in front of these people, and they can't see it. I mean, they should be asking the question, why are these clothes dazzling? He's alive. The one that gives all things light is shining in the shirt. And so, angels are amazing. Because they announce things, new seasons, to Abraham, Joshua, Gideon, Daniel. Even we're going to start singing the songs along with Boney M. and all the other things of angels announcing the birth of Jesus in the next few weeks. And these are reality, folk. Angels announce things to us. I believe angels are going to be speaking to us, folk. I mean, angels, it says, are messengers from God. Sometimes we might not see the angel or hear the angel speak, but they set up things for us. I mean, how many of us have seen the effects of what demons do? Should we maybe start believing in the effects of what angels do? Do you know that it says about angels and demons, it says that a third of all the stars of heaven, referring to the angels, a third of them fell when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. What does that tell you? If a third fell, that means two-thirds didn't. Did you do fractions and maths? Me too. It was hard. I got up there half. Anyway, so if there's two angels for every demon, and how many of us have seen the effects of demons? Hello? Should we not see the effects of those that are double the amount of the demons? Do we not realize that greater is He who's with us? Do we not realize that when we sing that song, our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God is healer, that it's the truth. That if He's for us, who can be against us? We run away from demons realizing that the angels are saying, just wait, we're going to take it out. We're going to nail the guy. For every demon there's two. I mean, when that man had a legion of demons, there were probably two legions of angels standing around as Jesus came and they started to clap their hands as He cast that thing out. Think about the work of angels, folk. It's not just me and God and all the demons. And the people who we sometimes think are demons. It's me and God and all the angels and all the people he wants to save from the few demons. Think about the power and the majesty and the glory and the might. Do you not perceive it? You see, why do you send two angels? Come on, there's double amount more on the side of God than there is on the side of the devil. The devil's a created being. God is the creator. He's got everything he needs. He's got all the power, all the might, everything he needs. We need to believe it. We need to perceive it. We need to start to think like that. But we always think down. We always think, oh, there goes the rand. We always think, oh, there goes the cricket team. Ah, oh, there goes Bafana, whatever. We're always going down. Always going. Just remember, with God, we're going up. We're on the up. There's new things God wants to do. Don't be so negative. The third thing is remembering. How many of you got a bad memory? It would seem like the Lord is having to remind us very often, week by week, of the things that he's done and the things that he wants to do. You know, over and over in the Bible it says, remember. Remember, Israelites, I took you out of Egypt. Remember, Israelites, there was a Red Sea in front of you. Remember, Israelites, Pharaoh was after you and all his army. Remember, there was like a million of you standing on the shore going, what should we do? Remember that I spoke to Moses and he picked up his staff and he simply pointed it at the sea. Can you remember how I blew with my nostrils and the waters parted? Can you remember how you walked through on dry ground? Can you remember how I closed it down on the enemy as he tried to pursue you? Can you remember? Oh, geez, I have a fucker. Oh, yes. What does it mean, God? I can do anything. I can save you. Can you remember? A lot of times people come, oh, my life's falling apart. Okay, can you remember what God did the last time it was falling apart? The fact that you're standing here telling me it's falling apart means he did something with you the last time it was falling apart. And that means he can do it again. Do you remember? I mean, the things that we need to remember. Remember the creation and remember the Sabbath, but remember the covenants and remember the commandments. Remember the manna from heaven and remember who's your source. Remember your slavery and now remember your freedom. Remember, he's chosen you, and he chose not to remember your sins. Remember the words. Remember the prophetic things that have been spoken over your life. Remember, you are weak, and remember, he is strong. Remember, you're not the answer. Remember, he is. Remember the good days. Remember the good relationships. Remember the miracles. Remember the protection. Remember to put your iPad on lock so it doesn't swing around while you preach. Remember the vows you made. Remember the days you served him. Remember the days when you said, I'll do anything, Lord. Now the Lord's going, remember. I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord. I'll give up everything for you, Lord. Remember. Remember what he does. Remember that nothing has stopped any of his plans to this very day. Remember. Can you remember what he does, folk? Can you remember the stories you've heard, the testimonies? Can you remember? You need to. Amen, Rita, you've probably got so many to remember. So many to tell. So many we must remember to come learn from you. And listen, God will bring things back to your memory as a way to speak to you. Isn't that wonderful? The fourth thing the Lord uses to speak to you, and it might sound a bit silly for me to say so, is he uses women. All the women say, yeah. I didn't hear, didn't hear a guy's voice there, I'm glad. But the woman, the woman tell the news to the disciples. In the culture and the thinking at the time was that the women weren't the ones to bring news. They weren't the ones to be the first to tell of something incredible. They had to learn from their husbands, and there's a whole lot of things going in there. Some of the role and all those things is valuable for today, but some of the pushing aside of women. In fact, all the pushing aside of women is useless. It's absolutely useless. I mean, my mother prayed for me. My mother shared the gospel with me. If it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't be where I am today. God answered her prayers for me to be where I am. Thank you, Lord, for the women who serve God, who love God, who speak for God. But it's amazing. In that time, if Someone had made the story up to make it sound even better. They would never have said, the woman told. Because that would make it seem like it was not believable. But the woman did. Because God's not afraid to put forward the image of God that are in male and female. He's not afraid to put the female image forward and to bring the gospel on their lips as the first to speak of Him. Isn't that amazing? And so the women are the first to tell. The Lord gives them their voice. But the disciples think it's absolute nonsense. Maybe your prejudice about a particular type of person is the very person that God's going to use to speak to you. Oh, God can't speak through those people. Guess what? He will. You know, it's actually interesting. In Muslim countries today, there's a vehement opposition against the imperial Western America and the white religion of Christianity. And while the Muslim nations are fighting against the imperial religion of Christianity for the white Western American, the Chinese who are getting saved are flooding the Muslim countries and telling them about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You think, this Jesus who you talk about, that American Jesus, the Chinese are saying he's not American. I saw. I saw him the other day. But you see, sometimes we've got this perception about where he's going to come from. What he's going to look like. Nobody expected a carpenter from Nazareth. And guess what? That's the Son of God on the earth. And some of us might think, God will never use this person. God will never use that person. I remember one day, walking around on this property, there was a guy who used to help in the gardens. His name was Franz. We employed him a few days. And Franz was an old man, but he loved Jesus. And I'd heard that a person had been murdered in their own home at Kailami Estates. And somebody got hold of me and said, Brad, please won't you come and talk to all the people in the park at Kailami, because everybody was so worried, because it was a strange thing to them that the built-up security walls around this big estate could have something happen on the inside. And so they asked me to come in and to preach to the people in the park, because I needed some encouragement. So I remember walking and thinking, wow, Lord, what am I going to say? Which verse must I use? And as I walk past Franz looks at me and he rattles off a scripture. He just says, Matthew 22, verse 37, something like that. I'm like, oh, what's that? Sorry, Franz. He says, Matthew 22, verse 37. I think there wasn't that verse, but he gives the scripture. So I go open the scripture, and the scripture says, fear the one who can put the soul in hell, not the one that attacks the body. Look, that's the scripture. That's what I need for the people in Kailami. Thank you, Franz. You know, the most unexpected places is where God's going to come and speak to you. From the most unexpected people, in the most unexpected ways. Guess what? If you're waiting for a new thing from God, don't you perceive it. Start to look a little bit wider, because maybe you're looking in the hole where God always speaks to you, but there's 100 others where He's wanting to send the message. Start to broaden your expectation. The other thing that speaks, which is quite incredible, is the linen cloth. Because Peter runs to the tomb. Some of us need to run and be hungry for the things that God has for us. Who's hungry? And it says that he stoops down. Perhaps we need to change our posture. Perhaps we need to bow down. Because when you bow down, you can hear God speak. You can see God's things a lot clearer. But when you stand proudly over it, how can God speak to you? He opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. But when you bow down and submit yourself, say, I'm willing to learn, God, that's when you'll start to see how much He's willing to teach you. And so as He stoops down, He sees the cloth, and that, He realizes, is a sign and a wonder. And He walks away wondering, in amazed pondering of what's gone on. God's going to speak through things, through ways that are going to be very strange to us in the coming season. You might think, these churches where people fall down, that's not from God. Oh, really? How do you know? Perhaps He wants to do something. Perhaps there's a lot of fake, but perhaps there's a lot of real in the fake, because you don't have a fake unless you have a real. I mean, you don't make a fake thing of something that doesn't exist. I mean, if I gave you a 50 Rand coin, you would know it's fake. There's no such thing. But if I gave a 5-rand coin, you'd be able to judge from the authentic whether the fake is real or not. And so perhaps in our own lives, we need to do with a little bit more of what we don't think is authentic, because maybe it is God. And we're very quick to judge and criticize and say, that'll never be God. But meantime, the cloth is lying there and Jesus is alive. Hello? We've got to allow ourselves, if God's going to do new things, it's going to be in new ways. Guess what? You haven't seen it before. You haven't got a reference for it. It's not written in anyone's book. And all the authority figures that you've used in the past, they've never seen it either. So there's a new thing for us. Let's trust God. The linen cloths, let's be hungry. Let's change our posture and we'll be able to see. Will you let the open doors be new opportunities that God wants to use to speak to you? Will you allow for the fact that angels are about to speak to us? Will you consider that God has spoken many of the things that He's about to do in the past, and now He's calling you to remember what He said? Will you break your prejudices and preconceived ideas and realize it is about to do something in an unlikely manner? Will you awaken your heart to signs and wonders and miracles? Because if He can do it, He will. And He can. Now I want to just go through the last section. I'm going to spend five to 10 minutes here, and then I want to pray for you. Is that fine? The rest of Luke. So now Jesus reveals Himself personally to people. And this is a wonderful picture. But as I mentioned before, the road to victory is a road to Jesus. And you have these two disciples on their road to Emmaus. But on the way, they find victory because they find the person. And all I want to do quickly is highlight what Jesus did to convince these guys who were asking questions of who He was and how they became part of the church of Jesus Christ as a result. Is that cool? So the road to victory would be what Jesus does with these guys to get them to the place where they are. If that's His victory, then it's a victory for us every time we do the same. Jesus said this, I will make you fishers of men. Right? So if He said, I'll make you fishers of men, it's got the same power as when He said, I will die and I'll rise again. Because He rose. After He died, He rose. So He's got power in His words. And if He says, I will make you fishers of men, then guess what? If you surrender to Him, you're going to fish. And you're going to catch fish. And the other thing He says is, make disciples. And if He wants you to make disciples, then it means He's going to take the fish and He's going to turn them into the flock. Isn't that amazing? So there's your little evolutionary science miraculous lesson for the day. God can turn fish into sheep. And I say it because this is what we need to do. We need to catch people and change people, but under His power and under His work. And so let's look at how Jesus does it. Are we good? That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. I'll ask you a little bit later, well, I'll tell you a bit later what Emmaus means. About 7 miles from Jerusalem, they were talking with each other about the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing Him. And He said to them, what is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered Him up to be condemned to death and crucified Him. But we had hoped that He was the one to redeem Israel. That's why they're sad. They're depressed because they've got some news, and the news is a perception of an untruth. Hello? Sometimes our depression is based on half the story. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some woman of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back saying that they'd even seen a vision of angels. That's not enough. And who said that he was alive? They don't believe it. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, beginning with Moses, and all the prophets, Samuel, who wrote 1 Kings, 2 Kings, blah, 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 even Joshua is referenced as a prophet, all of them. All the scriptures, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he was going further. And they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with him, he took the bread, subtly in a Jesus kind of way, took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Isn't that amazing? What they needed to see of him was now etched in their minds forever. They no longer needed the body of Jesus. They had the revelation of Jesus. He didn't need to stay. They could carry on with that. Isn't that amazing? It's encouraging for all of us here. We don't need the body of Jesus. We need a revelation of Jesus. That's enough for us to carry on. Then look at what they do. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. He vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? While he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Do you know what Emmaus means? Warm baths. Who wants to go to warm baths for the holidays? Who wants to go to a warm sea coast where the sun's shining and you can bathe in the sun? I mean, these guys were like, all this trouble in Jerusalem. No, let's get away from that. Yes, it's hectic there now. Haven't you heard about all the things that are going down? The chief priest killing a guy. So maybe he's the hero. He isn't. Oh, no. Let's go to warm baths. Let's go and just relax out there. On the way to warm baths, guess what? They meet Jesus. They go back to Jerusalem. What makes you go back to Jerusalem from warm baths? Jesus, you too. Guess what? They wanted a warm bath. They ended up with a burning heart. Don't let the external warm things turn you away and distract you from the fire of God in your heart. We need the fire of God in our hearts, and the fire of God comes through a revelation of him. When you see who he is, in all the scriptures it's displayed. In the tomb rolled away it's displayed. In all the angels speaking it's displayed. In all the women, in all the men, in all the Chinese, in all the British, in all the English, in everybody, in all the Indians are speaking about him. In all the Africans, this is the king. This is the one that causes our hearts to burn. When your heart burns, you've only got one response. You've got to go back to Jerusalem. You've got to go back to the brothers and tell them it's true. And as they get there, look what happens. And they rose that same hour and they returned to Jerusalem. I mean, it was dark. It was getting late. This was the excuse to Jesus. Come, come, let's go inside. It's tired. It's late now. The sun's gone down. That same hour, they returned to Jerusalem. All their fear of the dark and of getting out of the streets is gone. And they found the 11 and they went with them and gathered together. And they were saying, "The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And they told him, "Hang on, he was with us on the road while we were breaking the bread. When did he appear to Simon?" Probably at the same time that he appeared to them. You know what? Right now, while we're worshiping Jesus in this church, every other church across the world is seeing Jesus. And in this church, he's seeing Jesus. Wow, he's not limited by anything anymore. Isn't that amazing? We saw Jesus. And this is what happens when you become a believer in Jesus. Someone's taken you on the road. Someone's listened to your concerns. Somebody's wondering about your hopes. Somebody wants to walk with you. Somebody comes to your house and eats with you. Somebody sits there and the scriptures are opened and Jesus is revealed, and then suddenly your heart burns, and then you want to go be with the believers and talk about your testimony of Jesus while they talk about their testimony of Jesus, and together we're encouraged. Isn't that what it's all about? Hallelujah. Will you be someone who goes and finds the people who are walking to warm baths and bring them to the burning heart of Jesus? Will you be someone who's willing to walk on the road? Keep your mouth shut when they start to talk about things. Just hold back. Because you know what we do? The minute somebody says something Christian, we blah, 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 we vomit all our revelation on them. They're like, we don't want you to stay. But to Jesus, they said, we want you to stay. What can you change that would make people want to stay with you so that they can have the burning heart? We need the Holy Spirit to have a burning heart. Jill said today that she saw tongues of fire appearing on all of us. I want us to stand and pray. I'm going to pray for tongues of fire to come upon us. I'm going to pray this, that your heart would burn for Jesus. That you would look at every circumstance, everything that happens, as Him speaking to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to use you. He wants to help you. He wants to show you. He'll take you to the empty tomb, but that doesn't even do the trick. It's when you have a revelation of Him. Let's pray together. Oh Lord. Lord God, I want to pray for every single one of us in this room. There's people that we know we need to draw near to as Jesus drew near. There's people we need to show interest for. There's people that we need to engage in conversation with. There's people who are going to bring up the topic of Jesus, but maybe we just wait a little bit. Maybe we find out, what are their hopes? What have you been? Were you hoping that Christianity was an answer and now you found that it wasn't? Are you hoping that if you read the Bible, maybe you'd find something, but you didn't? But maybe, so just wait. Let's just walk together. There's some people that are going to respond to you. Those are the ones you can work with. There's some people who are going to say, I want more. There's something on your life. I need it. There's going to be opportunity for you to break bread at a meal and eating together and sharing conversation of just what happened in your life. And all of a sudden, they're going to be hungry and they're going to see Jesus. And then there's this wonderful transition that takes place. And they want to be with the body. They want to join the church. They want to hear where others are talking about Him. Can you be those who talk about what Jesus showed you this week? Can you be those who talk about what Jesus has done for you this week? Can you be those who talk about His power and His majesty this past week? Because there's people in this room who need to hear it. And if we can talk to each other about it, Lord, I want to pray right now for testimonies, testimonies, testimonies. I want to ask you, Lord Jesus, for every single person in this room to be anointed with your Spirit and with your fire right now. I want to ask you for tongues of fire to come upon every person. I want to pray right now. If you want the tongues of fire, if you want a burning heart, your heart's got to burn for something. If you want your heart to burn for Jesus, then just receive Him right now. And if you raise your hands or your arms, say, God, please, that's me. I long for you. I'm thirsty for you. I've been hoping. I've been longing. I've been looking in empty tombs. I've been doing religious things. I've been running around trying to find peace, trying to find hope, but I can't find it today. Would you come and reveal yourself? Would you reveal your fire? Would you reveal your burning heart to us? I pray, Lord Jesus, even now, that as some people's hearts begin to stir, I pray, Lord God, for this. There would be a revival. Everything that you intended to do as you broke out of that tomb would take place among us for 2,000 years. You've been walking people down the road to Emmaus and they're finding you, Jesus. For 2,000 years you've been doing it. For 2,000 years you found the delight in doing it everywhere. In Africa, in America, in Arab states, in Asia, in Australasia, wherever it is, God, you are saving people all around the world. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, God. Stir our hearts again. And may we trust you for more. I believe God's going to speak to you this week. He's going to show you things. He's going to open doors to you. You're going to see supernatural things take place. You might be tempted to say that's not God, but it is. He wants to speak to you. He's going to start and not stop speaking to you. And you will know the voice of your Father. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord God. Breathe on us, oh Lord. Breathe on your church, Lord God. We need a new revelation. You said you will do new things. Revelation 21:5 says, "And he who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" All things new. Revive us, Lord. Renew us, Lord. Refresh us, Lord. Like streams in the desert. Because that empty tomb is still pumping with life. Thank you, God. We worship you, Lord. Glorify you, God. Thank you, Jesus.